Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zadora.
Ah, yes, the first victory of the Mike Pettine era, the first victory in the new-look First Energy Stadium. Brian Hoyer leads the team down from his own four-yard line. They get into field goal range, and Billy Cundiff kicks the ball through the uprights as the Browns win here, setting up a victory Monday by the score of 26-24 over the New Orleans Saints. And, man, did it feel good. Lots to get into this game, and we definitely want to hear from you all day long, 216-578-0850 on this victory Monday because it feels so good. And I'm still a little bit drained. Yesterday, I was fired up, could barely sleep. Happy to be joined in the Dog Bowl in Berea by my man Matt Wilhelm. And Matt, a huge emotional victory for this team and for this city. You could just feel the energy pouring out of First Energy Stadium.
You definitely could, and it's great for this organization. It's great for this team. And again, congratulations to Coach Mike Pettine. I mean, what a great way to break a trend, you know, here in Cleveland after so many disappointing home openers, to set precedent. And also, too, the fact of the matter is he did it against such a great football team. You know, to have maybe a patty cake or a lower-level team come into First Energy and open, you know, expecting a Browns win, but, you know, missing some key pieces offensively in Tate and, of course, Gordon and Cameron, and to be able to come out with a victory, again, led by Brian Hoyer. We had many people step up, and I'm sure we'll talk about it for the next 2 hours.
That's exactly what we're going to do. And it was amazing because it was a game where, again, I think clearly the messaging of Mike Pettine is getting through to this team. The resolve they showed in week one after a terrible first half to come back. And in this one, they raced out to the lead. They were up 16-3 after, obviously, the bad extra point attempt there early in the second quarter off of Tayshawn Gibson's pick six. Then they give up 14 unanswered. They find themselves behind 17-16. They find themselves behind again after they score 24-23 and had the resolve to stay with us. Because at one point in the game, you said, okay, the Browns are going to get this one done. And then all of a sudden, it was like the script was flipped and it was a Saints game, and it felt like the momentum had been zapped from the Cleveland Browns. They had a couple of big drives when they needed them. And so for this team to show this kind of resolve and bring in kind of the first win, it's a team that had been close and the key was learning how to win. They finally done that. What does this do in the locker room to know that they knocked off a team that also needed to win this game? The Saints were 0-1. They did not want to go 0-2 here, and yet that's where they find themselves because of what the Browns did.
You're absolutely right. And I think what it finds is you're building trust in that new regime, that new head coach is. And again, until you get that first victory, you're kind of questioning, especially around these parts, because you've had, you know, multiple players with different head coaches and different coordinators, and you're tired of learning and adapting to a new way of thinking. And you get a new guy and coach, Mike Pettine, who's come in and set precedence about how we're going to play the game. And what we're seeing is we're seeing that happen within that 60-minute window. We've seen spats of it in years past, but we're seeing the grind, you know, the second half of last week to grind out and that comeback. Of course, we fell short, but this week to come out in front of that crowd, the new stadium, the electricity was awesome. And you can tell, you know, after two games that they're buying in mentally more so than physically with Coach Mike Pettine in that locker room.
And that is great news for this team to have that buy-in, have that belief, have that trust. And I also got to say, I got to tip my cap to the Dog Pound, because the Dog Pound brought it. They were loud. They forced timeouts that Saints had to use early. They couldn't hear anything. They didn't know what was going on. The Dog Pound brought it, and the fans brought it for the Dog Pound too, because as Mike Pettine said, you know, we want to have one of the best home field advantages in the NFL, and I think if things continue down the path that they did yesterday, the Browns will have one of the best home field advantages in the NFL. But he said we have to give them something to cheer about, and the Browns came out and were just dominant right out of the gate. They deferred. You come out on Drew Brees, you force them with a three and out. They get this ball back again deep in their own territory, you force them with the three and out and to use a timeout. It was a great job by this crowd, by this defense, just the energy and the atmosphere. He talks about it wanting to be a tough football team, and it was a tough football team. They were mentally tough. They were physically tough. And you just kind of got the sense that the Saints knew early on they were going to be in for a long day, that this was not going to – they weren't just going to come in here and roll over the Cleveland Browns.
They definitely did. And for those of you who don't know, some people might say, well, why did we defer and not take the ball first? And why is it such a kind of a mysterious thought for Mike Pettine? But because of the team that we're playing, you know, some coaches just stick with their guns. They defer and always want that ball after half. But in some cases, when you're playing a Peyton Manning or a Drew Brees or an Aaron Rodgers, the one thing that you don't want to do is give them the ball first and go down the field, and before you know it, you're down 7-0. And I think that goes to show that the players were feeding off of that crowd, which they talked about both during and after the game.
Sure.
And really just going out there and, you know, Kruger coming out and getting some hits on Brees early. I think more so than anything, defensively disrupting Drew Brees' timing was huge, not getting Jimmy Graham, you know, off the ground and down the field. And then I think also, too, for our offense to go and move the chains. You know, there's nothing better as a defensive player than sitting on the sideline and watching your offense have success.
And you talked about Paul Kruger, and this is a guy who, you know, last year did not get off to what we would call the best start of his tenure here in Cleveland. And now he's a guy who is absolutely making an impact every single game, every single week, 2 weeks in a row with the sack for Paul Kruger. In this one, he had one sack, two quarterback hits, a quarterback hurry. He batted a pass down. He was everywhere. Set the tone with that sack right on their goal line, I thought, early. So many guys stood out to me in this game. Defensively, you had Kruger. You had Carlos Dansby, whose sack basically, in my mind, gave the Browns the opportunity to win this game. It was a huge call to go out with the blitz there. I thought it was an aggressive call. I thought it was the right call. Obviously, Dansby sacks him, takes him out of field goal range, sets this up. Tashawn Gibson, the unbelievable pick six that he had there, a great read. Defensively, they did a very good job against a very good offense. And Justin Gilbert, who had a tough, tough time in the first game of his NFL career, he bounced back with a big game. Defensively, when you can hold Drew Brees to basically what I'll call it in this case is net, you know, net 17 points because they scored 24 and they got a pick six off of him. That's a good game. When you do that against that offense, you've really accomplished something.
It definitely is. And to that point, the one thing, you got to give Paul Kruger some love. Absolutely. And what he does playing two football games and bouncing back after a subpar football season, what he does is he opens up opportunities for other guys because he's gonna lure so much attention, and game plans are going to be, you know, scheming to, hey, we got to block Kruger. We got to block him. We got to block him. That opens up those inside lanes for guys like Dansby or Sheard on the other side, or when Mingo gets healthy, and even some of the safety blitz, getting Dante Whitner coming off an edge. And I think what I really love about yesterday's win is that each facet of the game did their part, minus, you know, a botched snap, did their part to set themselves up as a victory. They're playing team ball, and I think that we both know that this Cleveland Browns football team must play together week in, week out to string together some wins, because if any facet fails, I think this team fails at winning football games.
Absolutely. You've got to get it done in all three facets. And when you're a team that doesn't have a Drew Brees at quarterback, it doesn't have a Jimmy Graham per se, you've got to get it together as a team. You cannot rely on individuals, and that's what they did. And on the offensive side of the ball, Brian Hoyer comes out, and while, you know, got off to the quick start, was very decisive with the football, I thought, in this game. Didn't have his most accurate stuff for Brian Hoyer, but he did when it mattered. And that's what the game is ultimately about, making plays when it matters. And I'll tell you what, that final drive, the pass to Gary Barnage on 4th-and-7 may have been the best throw of Brian Hoyer's career. He needed to get it in there. He stepped in there. He ripped it with confidence, right on the money. Barnage made a great catch. Hoyer on the day throws for 204 yards, one touchdown. And a thing that people need to remember that is so important is that he is not turning the football over. Brian Hoyer has not turned the ball over since the game against Minnesota that he started. He's now 4-1 as a starter for the Browns, and he's gone 139 consecutive pass attempts without an interception. That is 5th most in Browns history, and he has a chance to leap all the way up into the top 3 if he goes one more game with that clean sheet.
You know what I love about this is Brian Hoyer, and more so than anything also too about Mike Pettine, is we're competing. You know, he's got competitors in the locker room where, you know, the DBs are competing for every ball thrown. There's no catch tackle. You know, they're being aggressive. You've got the pass rush is getting after the quarterback, regardless of who it is, because they understand the back end and the front end have to work together. But the competition level to me after two games is significantly cranked up, and
no
that can
question.
Only point back at Coach Mike Pettine and the type of camp that he's gotten. And also, too, I think that Ray Farmer's got to get a nod here because of the type of individuals that he's put in this locker room. we have addressed the fact that this organization is not content on being a bottom dweller or where they've been, and they're doing everything they can to eradicate that. And competitors in that locker room and a competitive coach who wants to win by any means necessary is what we want moving forward.
You got to have it, and that's why bringing in guys like Carlos Dansby and Dante Whitner to this team, why that was so huge and why that was such a great move by general manager Ray Farmer. And those guys have helped this locker room. They've helped convey the message of the head coach and kind of be those coaches and leaders on the field. And Dansby, as I said, comes up with arguably the biggest play defensively on the season for the Browns, obviously alongside Gibson's touchdown on the interception, the pick six there. But Carlos Dansby's a playmaker, and you and I talked about this before the show. When he came in here, I was throwing all the stats around. He led all inside linebackers last year in sacks, interceptions, passes, defense, and touchdowns. He's a playmaker. Now through two games, he has an interception of Ben Roethlisberger and a huge sack on Drew Brees to help set up this win. And this was a game of many firsts for the Browns. The first for win for Mike Pettine. The first win for Ray Farmer as a general manager. The first win in a home opener since 2004. That's massive. And for Terrence West, the rookie, it was his first touchdown in the National Football League. And somebody put this on Twitter, which I thought was unbelievable. Terrence West is the first rookie running back in the National Football League with at least 90 yards from scrimmage in each of his first two games since Chris Johnson and Matt Forte back in 2008.
Wow.
T. West.
Two guys that are, you know, have great careers thus far.
Absolutely. So he brought it out there with the 90 total yards and the touchdown in this one. Isaiah Crowell, 11 carries for 54 yards, average 5 a pop, did the rookie. These two guys step in, run for 122 yards between the two of them. The team's averaging over 150 yards rushing per game now after two games. It is working. And what really stood out to me as well with these young guys was their pass protection. You're going against the Rob Ryan defense. We didn't see any complete breakdowns at all where all of a sudden we were going to get waxed. Now, Hoyer took one big shot, but that was on a naked bootleg.
Yep.
And they read it, and he took a shot, and he got up, and he was tough, and I love that. But these young guys, to run the ball the way they did, to catch the ball the way they did, and to pass protect the way they did, really is impressive and says a lot, I think, about this offense and the running backs coach, specifically Wilbert Montgomery, getting these guys prepared to play in this game.
Absolutely. I mean, not only the running backs, but I mean, and I'm sure we're going to go there next, but the offensive line.
Creating
these holes for these young backs, but also, too, being decisive so that those backs aren't left guessing in pass protection, which is why a lot of, you know, quarterbacks get hit, is because a young running back doesn't know where to look. The communication is not there. And I think Alex Mack, to me, again, proved why he is year after year a Pro Bowl, a center in this National Football League. And I think they are one group that we're going to look to develop consistency, because if we can protect Brian Hoyer and we can run that football, we're going to be in every game we play.
No question. And it sets up everything else they want to do offensively. Kyle Shanahan's offense, you know, a lot of these passes look like runs initially. The play action, it's the exact same action, and then you break it off back to the other side. They added some opportunities deep off of those as well. But this line, Joe Thomas is playing fantastic. Joel Bitonio, I thought, when you go back and watch the tape of this one, was a monster, a machine. Gets to the second level so instinctually, naturally, effortlessly, and with a lot of strength. Alex Mack, John Greco playing some of the best football I've seen him play, and I said that going back to the preseason. It started in the preseason opener when he laid that wicked hit on the Detroit Lions linebacker. Mitchell Schwartz, obviously much maligned, did give him some pressures, but again, this team can run behind him, and if Mitchell Schwartz is the guy you're singling out, that's a good thing. That is a great position to be in, and I thought he had another very strong game. This O-line is the key to this. And really, when you think about it, you have a team of, you know, a lot of people say, okay, you look at this offense. You've got two rookie running backs. Maybe there's some playmakers. And then you've got, you know, Miles Austin. Is he a role player? Is he a true number one receiver anymore? Andrew Hawkins, kind of a role player slot receiver. He didn't have Cameron, so you've got Barnage and Dre, two guys that they call role players. Well, role players who know their role and do it effectively are valuable. And Andrew Hawkins, 6 catches, 70 yards. He's led the team in catches and receiving each of the first two games. Miles Austin, he had the one drop, but such strong hands, and the route he ran to set up that touchdown, fantastic. He had 6 for 44, including a couple on that final drive. And Gary Barnage comes in without Jordan Cameron. He gets four passes thrown his way, catches all four first downs, all four huge at huge moments in the game, third down or fourth down conversions, none bigger than the one on the final drive. He stepped up. You have guys stepping up for this team, and that's what makes it so fun to watch.
It really does. Not only were the offense, defense, and special teams playing complementary football, which will win and keep you in a lot of games, but as you said, it's the guys – and we talked about this off air, is the guys behind the starters that when you get that opportunity, you know, you go out there and you prove your value to the football team. And I think Gary Barnidge, for me, you know, what you have to also understand is he's running Jordan Cameron routes. You know, so he's running some some routes that a Pro Bowl tight end should be running. He just so happened to, you know, open up in some certain zones, and Hoyer has the confidence in him. And I think that next man up mentality that this Cleveland Browns football team has to have will keep us in a lot of football games, and they're just going to grind. And I truly feel that, again, going into this game is whoever was going to have the ball last, because I knew the Saints defense, you know, was not able to hold our offense by any means. Whoever had the ball last was going to win this football team, and we saw it happen.
We certainly did, and the Browns have now put up 53 points in two games. I got a tweet from somebody that said that no matter what the Colts do tonight, they're still going to be top three in the AFC at the worst in terms of scoring
offense. You got to love that.
Who would have said that?
New
right?
identity.
It's
right?
a new absolutely, and without Josh Gordon, without Jordan Cameron for three out of the four halves of football, and without Ben Tate for three out of the four halves of football, and yet this team is resilient. It is tough. It rises to the occasion and gets the job done. What a great win for Mike Pettine, the Cleveland Browns, the city of Cleveland, the Dog Pound. Everybody took a part in it. Everybody had a part in it. If you were there yesterday, you certainly helped out. They were so loud. The stadium looked fantastic, and I thought the crowd brought it. The players brought it. Just a great day for the city of Cleveland today, and we're going to enjoy it with you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So call us up, 216-578-0850. Who stood out to you? Who was the MVP of this game in your mind? What are you most encouraged about by this team and what you saw as the Browns get to 1-1, winning their home opener for the first time since 2004? Zagura and Wilhelm, CBD, right here on ESPN 850 WKNR.